We are thrilled to have with us today Daniel Gaines. He's been a missionary in Tanzania and will be returning there. We supported him here as a church back in days gone by, and we're grateful that he's able to be with us today. He's taken on a new task. He's now the director of the Andrew Conley School of Preaching. And so not only is he raising funds for his travels back and forth to Tanzania, but also for that school. It's really important. It's a thrill to teach at a place like OVU or Lipscomb University in Nashville and have students from all over the world to come and study with us. The one difficulty is when they come from all over the world, they frequently don't go back home again. And so training them where they are is an important task. And so the Andrew Conley School of Preaching is, I think, one of those wonderful opportunities to train young men and to keep them in the area. It was great to get to talk to Daniel today to discover that he spent some time in Romania as well, as we have. But he's made at least 5 trips to Timișoara, one of the cities in the northern part of the country of Romania, a place where I had never been until 2 years ago when we got to take students from OVU to travel to 5 different cities and churches all over the country. But it was a joy to get to know that he has some connections with Romania as well as Tanzania. I think you'll enjoy his lesson, and he's going to share with us a bit about his work, and we're grateful to have Daniel with us. Daniel, it's all yours.
Thank you, brother, for those kind words of introduction and for the comments there. I appreciate very much your value of preacher training, as it is so very essential, I believe, and we'll talk about that as we go. I'm so happy to be back here again. As Brother Michael mentioned, the congregation here did support our family when we were living in Tanzania from 2013 to 2016, and you were very good to us on more than one occasion. You sent very kind care packages and things like that to bring some comforts of home, to brighten our time there, and we remember that fondly and greatly appreciate your affection that you shared with our family during that time. It's great to be back with you again talking about Tanzania missions. Of course, I am talking about work in Africa, and I like to start out by narrowing that down a little bit because people sometimes don't realize what a big place Africa is. I encounter people pretty regularly, actually, that have the impression that Africa is a country rather than realizing it's a continent. It's some 11.7 million square miles, upon which there are 54 countries. To illustrate how big it is, I like to use this picture. Now, to avoid confusion, this is not the actual countries of Africa. But this illustrates some more well-known countries that you could place on the African continent that would fit on that landmass. You could fit the United States and China and India, as well as Europe and Japan, all on that landmass. It's huge. It's a vast area. There's some 1.1 billion people that call Africa home. And it's growing so very, very rapidly. You know, today, 1 out of every 6 people in the world lives in Africa. But people who study these things project that by the end of this century, 1 out of every 3 people in the world will live in Africa. Now, why is it going to grow so very much? And the reason for that is kind of twofold. One, the mortality rate in Africa has always been the highest in the world, as long as anybody can remember. And so nobody stands more to gain from modern medicine, and as that is being proliferated around Africa, life expectancies are increasing. But in the meantime, birth rates are staying relatively high, especially compared to more developed parts of the world. And so what all that means is right now in Africa, there are 4 people born for every 1 person that dies. And so with that type of ratio, you've got an exploding population that's taking place. And Tanzania specifically, they are predicting that by the end of this century, it will be the 8th most populous nation in the world. And so we're talking about great explosive growth that is taking place there, which gives us this wonderful kind of sweet spot of opportunity. You know, there's a window of opportunity there, and windows do close. But we've got a chance now with a population that's still very, very receptive to the gospel, but also exploding, that if we can get as much as we can get ahead of that curve, there's generational good that is potentially available there. So thinking about Tanzania also, this is the home of so many things that I consider to be just quintessentially African. It's the home of the Serengeti. That's where, have any of you seen The Lion King? Okay, several of you have seen The Lion King. That's what Tanzania looks like. It could have been filmed there, except it's not actually a cartoon or computer generated. It's real there. But that's where they, you know, lions and giraffes and elephants live, all those sorts of things. Not tigers. Tigers live in Asia. But it's a beautiful country. It's home of Mount Kilimanjaro, the tallest mountain in Africa, the tallest freestanding mountain in all the world. It's bordered by Lake Tanganyika, which is the deepest lake in Africa, second deepest freshwater lake in all the world. So Tanzania is simultaneously home of both the highest and lowest points in Africa, which is sort of appropriate because mission work is full of highs and lows. Right, and ministry in general is that way as well. It's also bordered by Lake Victoria, which is the largest lake in Africa, second largest freshwater lake in the world. But aside from all the remarkable geographical features about it and the beauty of the country, the real attraction is the people. That's what it's really all about. Now, I talked to you already about the rapidly growing population that's there. It's a population that speaks Swahili largely. The more educated people speak English, but the masses speak Swahili. What that sounds like is this. Habari za asubuhi. Bwana Yesu asifiwe. Mungu ni mwema. Kila siku. Which means, good morning. Praise the Lord Jesus, for God is good every day. That's just a sample of what the tongue sounds like with a touch of my southern accent going along with it. Anecdotally, I will tell you that the population is roughly half Muslim and half would call themselves Christians. There's sort of a gradient there. The closer to the coast you are, the more solidly Muslim the population is, and that fades the further inland that you get. But the real question is, what are we doing to reach out and help these wonderful people of Tanzania? There are four aspects to our mission. Maybe you remember, I've been here maybe three times before, and the basic aspects of the mission haven't changed. Our role within the mission has changed, and I'll explain that more in just a moment, but the basic aspects are the same. But the first I'll talk about here is preacher training. That's absolutely essential if the church is going to survive and thrive long-term in a region. There has to be a way to train the local people to do the work of an evangelist. They're going to be more successful at that than missionaries are because they're not going to have linguistic barriers. They're not going to have cultural barriers. They're not going to have family back in America that they're anxious to go back and see and things like that. They're going to spend their lives there. So if we can equip them with the gospel, with the tools they need for ministry, and then let them minister to their population, well, that's going to be a very effective thing. It has been a very effective thing, and it's a biblical pattern. This is what Paul urges Timothy, the things that you've heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. And that's exactly what we're trying to do. So enter the Andrew Connolly School of Preaching. The brother in the top corner is Andrew Connolly. He was a pioneer in East African missions back along the 60s. He started the work in Tanzania, in the southern part of the country, in Chamala. He recruited to join him in that work in the 90s, Cy Stafford. That's the brother in the lower corner. Cy and Stephanie Stafford then went, and where I loop into this is at the very same time Brother Connolly recruited Cy to join him, he also recruited my parents, and we were supposed to go and be a part of this work as well at that time. Now, this would have been when I was in eighth grade, so that's been a few weeks. Now, why are you chuckling? it's been a while. Mom found out that she had cancer. We had to stay so she could have that treated, and we were not able to go and be a part of it at that time. But it created an interest in Tanzania for me back when I was in eighth grade. Sai takes Andrew Connolly's vision. He moves his focus to the northern part of the country, to the cities of Arusha and Moshi, and focuses his efforts there. And there on the outskirts of Arusha, he establishes the Andrew Connolly School of Preaching, which is a tremendous work that I'm very excited to have the opportunity to be a part of. Very much warming myself there by fires that I didn't build, but I'm trying to keep fueled and keep perpetuated. The Andrew Connolly School of Preaching has students that come to us from all over East Africa, not just Tanzania, but we have students that come from Kenya, from Uganda, from Ethiopia, from South Sudan, from the Democratic Republic of the Congo. All together, about five or six East African countries have sent us students, and we train them, and they go back to their areas and continue on with the work of the Lord. And not only that, but two other schools of preaching have been begun and are being operated by our graduates. There's the Kenya School of Preaching in Kisumu, Kenya, that was started by Charles Agutu, one of our graduates. This year, they're open to school of preaching in Dar es Salaam, and two of our graduates are helping to operate that school. And so you have this kind of pyramid of good. We'll never know this side of heaven, all the good that's done by these men that are trained to go out and from these other schools as well. It's exciting to see that type of spiraling of good, these ripples that go out. We have, at this moment, about 30 students, 18 Swahili speakers, and 12 English speakers. It's a two-year program sponsored by or overseen by the Bear Valley Church of Christ in Denver, Colorado. And there we stagger it. So 1 year we bring in English students, and the next year we bring in Swahili students. And so every other year we're graduating a class of a different language, and that's how we've done it now for a little while. We have a wonderful facility there. We're able to house about 48 students, have dormitories for that with complete kitchen and library and all those sorts of things. We're actually working on expanding our library right now, so that's a need and a project that we're currently working on. And if you know of any, you know, preachers retiring or something like that, and they've got a big library they want to get rid of, we'd be happy to help him find a place to put those books. Our brother Sai, who was my mentor, he meant so much to the work there in Tanzania. We'll never be able to describe what he meant to that work. But he did pass away here 2 years ago after an extended battle with leukemia. Before he died, he asked me if I would be willing to step in and take over his role of directing the work. So to loop my story back together, you know, back in 2000, when I was in college, there was a group from Fried Hardeman that was going to be going on a campaign to Tanzania. Now, don't ever go on a campaign unless you're willing for your life to change, because it will change your life. So we went on this campaign to Tanzania. And initially, I wanted to go because we'd almost moved there. I wanted to see what it was like. I was curious. Well, we were really impressed with the work, really impressed with the country and the people and the mission model, and we wanted to be a part of that one day. But we were newlyweds. There were other things we wanted to do about getting life started first, and that wasn't a good time, so we kept waiting for a more convenient time. Eventually, we realized that there was no convenient time to pack up and move to Africa, and life was getting less convenient instead of more convenient. And so we decided if we were ever going to be a part of this work full-time, we were going to have to pick an inconvenient time to do so. That's what we did. We picked an inconvenient time, and we packed up and moved to Africa, and you all helped us. in that. Well, in 2016, we came back, and I've been doing pulpit work since then. When Si asked me to take that role, that wasn't really what I was interested in doing right then. I'd made commitments back here and needed to fulfill those commitments, and I have. But with him gone from the work, as we saw how desperately the work needed him, needed that oversight, needed some central guidance, we decided that we needed to step back in and under Bear Valley's oversight, where we've accepted that role of directing the work. And so this is, it's the same work, but our role is different. Before, we were just missionaries working with the work. We were only responsible for our funding and our activities there. Well, now I'm responsible for the funding for the whole school and some other projects that are there as a part of that. And so it's a much bigger task and commitment. I have a lot more people that are depending on us than we did before. And so that's a part of the task that I'm seeking to fulfill now. When Si died, probably about a third of the funding slid off, because not immediately, but in the year or two after he died, because there wasn't anybody that was actively raising funds. There wasn't anybody actively reporting to congregations. There wasn't anybody soliciting new funds. There wasn't that central person that could be a face for the work, a central point of contact. And the work really missed all those things. And so now a big part of my task is trying to rebuild that funding. And the thing about lost funding is, it doesn't just stay there waiting. You know, after a church stops supporting a work, they reallocate those funds to something else. And so it's not like you can just go back and say, you know, hey, we've got a director again. Let's go ahead and restart those funds. Well, they're already helping another worthy work. And that's how that works. But anyway, Si, a friend and mentor, and so now we're filling in and accepting this role. So, preacher training. The second area of the work is in personal evangelism. And, of course, preacher training is a part of personal evangelism. Our guys are doing personal evangelism while they're in school. Every Saturday, they're going and doing personal work for a local congregation. Every Sunday, they're there available at that area congregation to help out in their services in whatever way the church wants to use them. In addition, there's numerous campaigns that come through that there's the opportunity to be a part of. And evangelism there is so easy. There's no lack of studies to be set up. The only limitation on how many studies you can do is how much time you have available to devote to the studies. I asked a fellow one time, do you have time to study the Bible with me today? And he said, well, all time is God's time, so how could I not have time to study the Bible? I thought that was a pretty good answer. And we'd probably be better off if more of us had that attitude. And so there's, if you want to come visit with us and go on a campaign, we'd love for you to be a part of that. But again, don't do it unless you're willing for your life to be impacted forever, because it really does make a big difference to you. Here's one Bible study we had. Was with this lady. She was coming to us from a denominational background, but she kept asking questions you would expect from a Muslim, even though she wasn't a Muslim. We were confused by that, but we went with it. Later on, we discovered that there was another lady inside the house hiding behind the doorway that was Muslim, and she wanted to learn about Jesus, but was afraid to be seen doing so, so she was feeding questions to this lady. So we were having a stealthy Bible study with this Islamic woman, even though we were not even aware of it. Another thing that's effective there is tracts. This is, you know, it costs money to run the school. It costs money to buy Bibles and print tracts for distribution. Anecdotally, we're told that each tract is read by about 5 different individuals during its lifetime. And it's not uncommon for us to get a phone call, receive contact from somebody that has gotten their hands on a tract that was distributed years before, and it has just now filtered down to them, and they want to know more information about what they're reading about. That's what baptisms look like there. It's a time for great rejoicing, of course. These men are all evangelist in the Arusha area. This was at a new church plant where they were working together, giving of their time a couple of days each month and doing Bible studies in that area. And the third part of our work is in providing benevolence. As God describes the day of judgment here in Matthew chapter 25, it seems like one of the ways that we're going to be judged is by how our faith led us to seek to alleviate the sufferings of others, to do good to others, how our faith was shown in that way. And so we want to, when we're surrounded by the type of poverty that is there in Tanzania, we want to reach out and help where we can. Now, we can't solve the problem of poverty. Even Jesus said, the poor you have with you always, right? But we can make a difference in the lives of some people. And so with the help of you and others like you, we've been able to offer food and education and clothing and shelter, medical needs to some very needy individuals. 68% of Tanzanians live on $1.25 per day. As a result of that, 32% of the population is malnourished. And the UN Human Development Index ranks Tanzania 159th out of 187 countries in poverty. So it's a extremely, not the poorest nation in the world, but it's way on down that list. And being able to offer help is a great, great joy. It constantly breaks my heart to see the conditions that some of these people live in. You know, this lady, her job, she's out in the hot sun all day making gravel by hand. You know, and that's what she's doing. You've got this little child here. This is the most common child's toy we see over there. It's a bucket lid nailed to a stick, and they'll just go roll it along the ground. They think that's really cool. So, you know, Christmas is coming up here. You're going to want to get this on your kids' Christmas list because it's going to be a hit. They'll love it. Everybody in Tanzania loves it. Sometimes campaign groups are good about including some benevolence in what they do. One group from Hoover, Alabama, bought mosquito nets to give out. They bought 1,000 mosquito nets and distributed those in the area where they were doing evangelism. And we could go on, but time is rapidly failing me. And I'm trying not to do this on African time, but to do it on American time as much as I can, but I'm not promising. And then the fourth area of our work is in edifying the churches. You know, when Jesus gave that great commission, he said, go therefore and make disciples, right? Go make disciples. That's not just baptizing, but there's a long process of maturation. We don't want to just baptize them, hand them a Bible, and wish them well. We want to continue to help the churches grow, to be a resource for them in whatever ways we can. And there's a great number of ways that we continue to try to help them. We have each year a future preacher training camp that's hosted there at the School of Preaching, and young men from ages 13 on up into their 20s will come and be a part of that and learn how to prepare and deliver lessons, how to conduct Bible studies, how to do all sorts of things that church leaders need to be able to do. And we also have the chance to go and visit and preach at many of the congregations in the country. Sometimes they'll ask us to come in and do a seminar or a series of lessons on some special topic that they're struggling with that's become an issue in the area. Sometimes they just need to be visited and encouraged and uplifted. Whatever, we want to let them know they're cared about and recognized and connected with them. So we try to get around to as many of them as we can. There's my beautiful and talented wife doing a ladies' lesson there. And there's all types of opportunities to do children's seminars, teaching women to teach, all those sorts of things. We also have a couple of Bible schools there, Kilimanjaro Bible School and the Arusha Bible School. These are different from the School of Preaching. It's a whole different model. The School of Preaching is for faithful Christian men who want to become evangelists. Well, the Bible schools are open to everybody. It's a night school format. So it's good for new Christians that want to deepen their roots and learn more about the Bible. It's also available there for people that are non-Christians to come and learn more and be evangelized while they're there. Sometimes we'll have denominational preachers that come and want to learn the Bible from us, and we're very happy to teach them the Bible. I had the opportunity to study with a denominational preacher, and he came to understand that what I was teaching him was from the Bible, and it was the truth, and it was different from what he had taught and was being and was teaching in the past. And he wanted his people to know the truth. And he wasn't ready to make the conversion yet because his salary was still coming from that denominational church. He had to count the cost a little bit. But he wanted his people to know the truth. So he arranged for a seminar there at his denomination and invited us to come and to preach to his people. The house was packed, and we preached to him for 3 hours, preached the gospel to him, after which several were baptized, including one of their elders. And in subsequent weeks with follow-up, more were converted as well. And so it just lets you know there's such a hunger there and a willingness to obey the gospel when it is presented to them. There's Tanzania Christian Camp is another thing that's hosted there at the School of Preaching. I know maybe you're involved in Bible camps here. It's a great thing for kids to do, and it's a similar model to most American Bible camps, but it's hosted there at the School of Preaching, just a way that we try to be a resource in edifying the area churches. And we also host each year the Tanzania Leadership Conference there at the School of Preaching. It's a seminar type of thing, a lectureship, if you will, and church leaders from several East African nations will converge on our school, and we'll spend some time studying the Bible together. That's also a great time for us to get to know what some of our alumni have been up to since we last saw them. So what's the mission? In short, it's preacher training, it's personal evangelism, it's providing benevolence, and it's edifying the church, which really is not just what our mission ought to be about, but it's what all churches ought to be concerned about, right? These are things that are part of doing church. It's something that Christians the world over need to be concerned about wherever they're at. Now, we do have, you know, some needs and opportunities, ways that we need help. And the first way that we need help, the most important way by far that we need help, is we need your prayers. We need your prayers. Somebody says, I believe in mission work and I appreciate what you're trying to do, but I'm on a very fixed income. I cannot help financially. I understand that. I really do understand that. But despite what some televangelists might tell you, prayer doesn't cost a dime. You know, you don't even have to be healthy to pray, right? I've done some of my most fervent praying when very unhealthy. You can lay there on your sick bed, and as long as you have some lucidity of mind about you, you can pray. And you can pray not only for your health, but you can pray for matters of the kingdom. Jesus wants us to pray for matters of the kingdom. And his model prayer, he teaches us, his disciples, pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. He wants us praying for his interest on earth, not just our own. Those of us that are Bible-believing Christians, we don't usually need somebody to tell us to remind us to pray for our needs. We usually can remember that. But maybe we need to be reminded to pray about the matters of the kingdom. I want to ask everybody here to help in this way. To commit to praying not only for our work, but also for other mission works, for the local work here, be people that are praying for the kingdom. Now, the other thing, before I move on, I have this specialized high-tech sign-up device with me. I'll have it in the foyer afterwards. I also have a special stylus that will mark on it. And what you can do is you can give me your name and your email address, and that doesn't commit you to anything, but this would be if you would like to receive our email reports that we send out now and then, so you can keep up with the work and some things that are going on over there to help you to know how to pray, you know, for this work and to keep track of it. I'll have that with me if you would like to sign up there, and I promise I will not contact you about your car's warranty or anything like that. We're just going to talk about the Lord's work in Tanzania. But the other thing we do need is we need financial help. As I mentioned before, a lot of the funding slid off after Cy passed away. You know, I'm not asking you to support my family directly. I'm asking you to support the Tanzanian missions. I'm asking you to support the work as a whole. And it will support my family as a part of what it does. But you know, we're working on half salary right now because we need to make sure that the work has everything it needs before we have what we need. So we do need some help in the financial area. Now, the elders have let me know that the church as a whole here really isn't in a position to be able to help us again, but they have generously invited me to have this opportunity to appeal to the membership. And maybe some of you, out of your family funds, would be able and interested in helping either in a one-time way, in a monthly way, an occasional way, whatever. If you would like to do that, then we really could use that. Just email me. I'll give you all the information on how to do that. My email address is Daniel, creatively enough. Daniel, D-A-N-I-E-L, hyphen. Don't spell out the hyphen, just hyphen. Gaines, G-A-I-N-E-S, at hotmail.com. And you can just email me. But financial contributions, we need them. But in addition to that, it's good for you. Even if you're not given to us, I want you to be given to the kingdom out of your private funds. And here's why. Jesus said, where your treasure is, your heart will be also. You've read that. You're familiar with it. Now, if I were saying it, I would have messed it up. I'd have said it the other way. I'd have said, where your heart is, your treasure will be also. But that's not what Jesus said. And the one way I know to illustrate this is, I'm really from Alabama, and in Alabama, football is a really big deal, right? Thank you for Nick Saban, by the way. We appreciate that. And I once knew there a good brother that was an Alabama fan. And as Alabama fans do, he wore Alabama paraphernalia. And he talked about Alabama football. But this brother also had a daughter. And his daughter grew up, as daughters are wont to do. And when she grew up, you know, sometimes you try to train kids the best you can. And when they grow up, there's just no accounting for what happens. Well, his daughter grew up, and she went to school at Auburn. Which, if you know anything about college football, you know that Auburn is Alabama's most heated rival. She went to school at Auburn. And the next thing you know, I saw that good brother. He was wearing an Auburn shirt. He had gone apostate. And what happened to him was he sent his daughter to Auburn. He sent his tuition money to Auburn. He sent treasure to Auburn. And so next thing you know, what happened to his heart? It went to Auburn as well. Now, I don't care what football team you root for. That's just silly external stuff. That's a lot of fun. That's not all that important. But what I do care about is where your heart is. And if you want to make sure that your heart's in Kingdom Matters, invest some treasure in Kingdom Matters. And those people that are supporting on a regular basis, I know that they are also praying for the work because they've got some skin in the game. They've got some treasure in it. And so they remember to care about what's going on. They remember to pray, and they have some heart there for it. And so it's a good thing for you to be a giver to Kingdom Matters, local, international, whatever. But make that a part of your family budget. I would appreciate if you'd give to Tanzania Missions, but if it's not Tanzania Missions, I still want you giving to the Lord's work some way because you need to. It helps you to do that. Now, as I close out, I want to emphasize why all this is important is because we're all part of one body. There's no such thing as African church, an American church, or Australian church, or Chinese church, or anything like that. There's just the church, right? Jesus is the head of one body, one church. He gave His life to purchase one church. And because of that, we need to be concerned about what's going on worldwide with that body and other parts of that body. And there may be somebody here this morning that is not yet a part of that body because you've not yet been baptized into Christ. You've not yet responded to that gospel plan of salvation and been added to it like we're taught in Romans chapter 6. If you are ready to do that, then come and do that this morning. If you've already done that, but since then you've not maintained your commitment to the kingdom that you made, and you need to rededicate yourself to sorting out your priorities and doing what's right, or you need to ask for prayers to strengthen you in some way, then now is a great time for that as well. If you'd like to respond, then come forward and let your need be known while together we stand.